The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I am Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Marcus Aurelius, Book 4, Chapter 47, and he writes, "Just as if God told you that you would die tomorrow, or at least the day after tomorrow, you would attach no importance to the difference of a single day, unless you are a complete coward. Such is the tiny gap of time. So you should think that there is no great difference between life to the umpteenth year and life to tomorrow." Okay, so for some reason, it took me a little while to get shot on this. But I think what he's saying is basically, just to say in my own words, if God said to you, hey, you're going to die tomorrow, or maybe the day after tomorrow. So clearly that is going to elicit some sort of reaction in you, right? But what he's saying, what Marcus Aurelius is saying, is that if there would not be a difference in your reaction to impending death in 24 hours or your reaction to impending death in 48 hours. And the only reason there would be a difference is if you're a coward, meaning that if you are so much more afraid of death in 24 hours than in 48 hours. But most of us, we would react in the same way to the notion that our death is certain, okay? So let's unpack this and examine it from different angles. And again, I'll use my little disclaimer here. This is not me attempting to, maybe unpack was the wrong word. This is not me attempting to understand what Marcus Aurelius was intending to teach, because he wrote this for himself, right? But this is my own meditations on Marcus Aurelius's meditations. So first thought I had here was, you know, this is a common theme in Stoicism of thinking about your death, memento mori, remembering that you're going to die. And we've talked in the past about how to make this idea real to you, you know? So, I did a fairly recent episode, well, not fairly recent, I guess it was, Shavuos time around. I'll try to link it in the, comments about how I've recently come to practice this, you know, how can you live your life as though you could die at any moment when statistically you won't die at any moment? That was that's the challenge that we've been dealing with, you know? So I have my new approach to this, but my old approach is actually very similar to what Marcus Aurelius was talking about, which is, let's say I told you were going to die tonight, right? So you know, clearly you would spend your day differently, right? Now let's say I told you that there's a 50% chance you're going to die tonight. Okay, so you probably still would live your life differently. But what if I said 10%? Or 5%, or 1%. You know, the question is, at what point, at what percentage does at what percentage would you not be able to justify living differently, you know? And then the question is, why aren't you doing that right now? Okay, like, you know, again, if you knew you were going to die 100%, you would take out all the money in your bank account and do something with it, right? Whether it's spending it in a certain way, giving it away, whatever, you know. But if you had a 50% chance, you probably wouldn't do that, you know. And if you had a 1% chance, you certainly wouldn't do that. Same thing with your job, right? That you know, you might, depending on what your job is, I guess, then you might, you know, you would quit your job and not go to work that day if you knew it was your last day. But if it was a 1% chance, you wouldn't do that. So this is what I call the sliding scale thought experiment of knowing that you're going to die and squaring that with the reality that in real life, it is a sliding scale. Like you could die, you know, today or tonight, you know? So, that's the first thing I thought of when I read this he's also proposing a thing of what would be the difference between being told that you're going to die tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. Okay. So that's thought number one. Okay. I suggest you do the thought experiment on your own, because you kind of have to feel it in order to get the impact of the experiment. Okay. Thought number two was a point which Seneca makes a lot, especially in his essay on the shortness of life. But I'm going to read one passage from a text that I have not read before. I just saw this passage here from the Consolation to Marcia, 21:3. He says, "You might name long-lived men of legendary old age. You might count up 110 years for each. But when you turn your mind toward the whole of time, the difference between the shortest and the longest life will be nothing. If, having examined the intervals, you compare the time each has lived with the time he has not lived." Okay, so this is the poetic way to express the idea that just because you're alive doesn't mean you're really living, right? And if you look at how, you know, when you look at someone who is 110 years old, you can think to yourself, oh, they've lived such a long life. And Seneca will often makes the point, no. Just because they've been alive for a long time, just because they could count the calendar days, doesn't mean that they have actually lived. And if you actually count up the amount of time during their biological life that they've actually lived as a human being, it's very small. And the converse is also true. I first heard this idea in Rabbi Cheat's eulogy of Neil Blond, which I highly recommend. I'll see if I can link it in the show notes as well. That Neil Blond was someone in our yeshiva who was a great Talmid Chacham who died of, I believe it was cancer. I didn't know him personally. I taught his daughter. In the eulogy, Rabbi Cheat, and I guess he died, you know, he died at a relatively young age. And that was the first time I heard Rabbi Cheat say that arichus yamim, that length of days, is not measured quantitatively, but qualitatively. And he said that if you're talking about Neil Blond, then, you know, he may have died young, but but Hashem certainly blessed him with arichus yamim. You know, he lived a full long life and used every moment well. So, I think that's another thought that this is designed to prompt you to, which is that you know, if you if you knew you were going to die tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, so it's not really so that's a short quantity of time. But the question is, can you maximize that amount of time? You know, and you know, extract arichus yamim, extract length of days out of that. And similarly, again, you got to continue his thought experiment here. Let's say you're going to die at the end of the year. So how are you going to use the year? You know, the gut reaction is to say, oh, that's a short amount of time, but a year is you could do a lot in a year, you know, and are we really living that way? Okay, so that was thought number two. And then the final thought, I actually had an aborted thought here, which was, I associated very early, I think because I first read this during Sukkot, I associated to Kohelas 6:6. V'ilu chaya elef shanim pa'amayim v'tova lo ra'a halo el makom echad hakol holeich. So even if a man should live 1,000 years twice over, but find no contentment or literally see no good, doesn't everyone go to the same place? So I looked into that and didn't find anything that actually lined up with Marcus Aurelius, but I did associate to that. So if you can understand the pshat of that pasuk in a way that contributes to our understanding of this, then let me know. Okay, but the last thought I was thinking of was I was thinking about Marcus Aurelius' thought experiment of if God said you're going to die tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, would it really make a difference, right? So I thought to myself, well, of course it would make a difference to, maybe not to the average person who doesn't use his time well, but, you know, are you telling me that a tzaddik, you know, would just equate the two times? I mean, wouldn't 48 hours of Torah and mitzvos, you know, and doing Ratzon Hashem be superior in his eyes to 24 hours? I mean, like someone who, in other words, to the average person who doesn't use his time well, yeah, there's no real difference. What is he going to do? Like spend more time, like, you know, just enjoying physical pleasure? Like, is that really like a significant difference? But for someone who uses his life well, yeah, it's a huge difference. 48 hours, you know, one day and 2 days, right? But then I thought to myself, well, when Rabbi Akiva was being tortured to death, he was smiling, right? Now, if you asked him, Rabbi Akiva, wouldn't you want one extra day? I think he would say, my first thought was he would say yes, right? He would certainly prefer one extra day, but yet we see that he was able to attain, you know, peak Ahavas Hashem, peak love of God, when he was dying. Now, he didn't sit there being depressed about the fact that he doesn't get any more days, you know? So I was trying to like reconcile that in my mind. And the first thought that came to my mind when I had this question was Chazal's statement Echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit ubilvad she'chaven libo l'shamayim, which I understood to mean it doesn't matter. Usually, this is invoked in this is quoted in the context of learning, even though I think originally it's about korbanos. That whether you learn a lot or whether you learn a little, it doesn't matter as long as your heart is directed to heaven. And that made me think, well, maybe that was what Rabbi Akiva's mentality was, which is that, yeah, he would prefer, all things being equal, he would prefer to live an extra day. But it really is not the amount that you're learning. It is It is the quality of your involvement in the learning. And no one can learn the whole Torah, you know, in the sense that that God's wisdom is infinite. So if he got another day, he still wouldn't finish the Torah, you know, but that's not what he cares about. He doesn't care about finishing or accomplishment. He cares about Yichavin Libo L'Shamayim, about his heart being directed to heaven, about being involved in Torah Lishma for its own sake, or in Avas Hashem, in love of God. And that can take place whether it's a little or a lot. So that was my thought. And then I decided to look up the statement of Chazal in its context. Now, I know they quote it in many places, but the first place I saw was in Brachos Daf Hey Amud Aleph, and it actually is very on target here. Rabbi Eliezer Chalash Chalash. So Rabbi Eliezer became sick. Okay. Al Lagabe Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan entered, you know, went in to visit him. Chazah Dehavaka Gane Babais Afel, and he saw that he was in a dark room. Chazi Dehavaka Bache, and he saw that he was crying. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan sees that Rabbi Eliezer, who's sick, is crying. Sorry, Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Eliezer. At least according to Al HaTorah. So Rabbi Amarle. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Eliezer, Amai kabachis, why are you crying? Imi shum Torah delo apasht, if it is because you didn't learn as much Torah as you would have wanted to, shaninu, didn't we learn, echad hamar bev echad hamami b'yavad sheichad min libel l'shamayim? Didn't we learn that whether you do a little or a lot, as long as you direct your heart to heaven? So this is saying exactly what the way I was interpreting the Rabbi Akiva thing, or the application to Marcus Aurelius, which is, he's saying, yeah, okay, Eliezer is going to die. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, like, if you're crying about the fact that you don't get more days of learning Torah, it doesn't matter how many days you get, as long as the way that you're relating to Torah is correct in terms of its quality, you know, not the quantity. So that kind of confirmed my approach. And then I looked at the Chidushei Maharsha on Agadata, on that Gemara, and he says, Hamavur alpi mashkas b'shilhi mod katan chai b'ni umzoni lab b'zhuza talya milsa ela b'mazla. So there's this very, very controversial statement in the Gemara in Mod Katan that says, life, children, and sustenance or livelihood are not dependent on merit, but on mazel, okay, on chance, all right? Now, obviously, we're not going to go into that. Okay, that's learned in many, many different ways, and he himself starts analyzing it here. But I'm going to skip to the punchline. So he takes that to mean that in the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer goes on to ask about his children and about his livelihood. But the first thing he talked about was his life, and the Maharsha says v'zeshakas of imishum Torah shehi chaye ha'adam. When Rabbi Eliezer asked Rabbi Yochanan what he was worried about, and he said, are you worried about Torah? That lines up with the statement of life, because Torah is a person's life. Kamosha Kasav, as it was written, Kihu Chayachav Orechemecha, and it is your life and the length of your days. Einze Toli Bezchus, this is not dependent on merit, okay? Meaning how much Torah you get to learn in life is not dependent on merit. Ki lo kol adam zocha laharbos b'torah. Not everyone is meritorious of increasing of learning abundant Torah. Kamosha Kasav Bazeh Da Kol B'Mazel Tali, as Chazal said, that everything is dependent on mazel, on chance, meaning in terms of life, children, and livelihood. Afilu Sefer Torah Shebehechal, even the Sefer Torah in the sanctuary. Ve'echad Amar Be V'chule. And therefore, because the amount of Torah you get is not dependent on merit, but is dependent on chance, so then, because of that, then it doesn't matter how much or how little you learn, as long as your heart is directed to heaven. So that's an interesting argument, which is that if the amount of Torah you learn was dependent on merit, so then, yeah, you should maximize. Well, I mean, you should always maximize your time, but then it is kind of your fault if you don't learn as much Torah as much Torah quantitatively as you could. But he's saying not everyone is zocha, not everyone merits the same amount of Torah. So what matters is not how much Torah you learn, but how you learn the Torah that is in your chelek, that is in your portion. And the best way to remind yourself of this is on Shabbos davening in all of our tefillos. One of the requests we say in the middle bracha is v'sein chalkenu besorasecha, give us our portion in your Torah. And I only realized this past year, we don't say give us a lot of Torah, or we don't say give us as much Torah as you know as we can handle. We say give us our portion in Torah. So it's a good reminder that every person has a chelek in Torah, and the chalakim, the portions, are not all equal. So you can't, and according to the way the Maharsha is understanding this this Gemara of Chai b'ni u'mazoni lav b'zchusa talya milas ala b'mazla, he's saying that you can't control how much Torah is in your chelek. All you can control is how you relate to your chelek, all how you relate to your portion. So that all of this is a long-winded way of saying, I mean, I hope it's a beneficial long wind, but it's a way of saying that, yeah, if God told you that you have either a day or 2 days, so hopefully you would use the time well, but you would not distress over the fact that of 24 hours versus 48 hours in terms of your Torah learning, and by extension, your mitzvos, I assume. In other words, in an objective framework, yeah, and all things being equal, having 48 hours to engage in more Torah and mitzvos would be better. But what matters is not how the quantity, but how you relate to it, how you relate to the time that you do have. And in that sense, you can get that in 24 hours or 24 or 48 hours. Okay, so that is that's it for today. If you've gained from what you've learned here, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to support to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.